and I am a very grateful overcomer. If you do not receive a bulletin, Bible, or pen, raise your hand. If you're missing any of those three, raise your hand and somebody will spot you. While that's going around, and if you use your handy-dandy computer phone, you know, turn to Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. But while that's going around, some of y'all know that I've officially decided to do this for the rest of my life, being a pastor. And where I will be going to be, where a place where iron sharpens iron, is Dallas Baptist University. Come on, woo! Yeah, it's a little bittersweet. I mean, I'll be moving with my dad in Lancaster. But, you know, it's exciting and it's a change that I'm, you know. Anyways, I find it ironic that my sermon is based off of Matthew chapter 6, because last time I was up, it was Matthew chapter 5 at the end of it. And it you like look at the next portion or next chapter, it's where I'm at, Matthew chapter 6. And then where I was going at, it was inspired by Logan Williams. He talked about that one-on-one time that God really longs for us. And this place is this title of the sermon is called The Secret Place, or Secret Places. So, Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. I'm going to go ahead and read that. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go to your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Then this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive those who are, as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But when you forgive men their sins, your Father in heaven will forgive you. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they will disfigure their face to show men that they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that you will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but to only your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. I find it incredibly annoying that it's all absolute. Like, when you pray, when you fast, and then the first four verses says, when you give to the needy, when you give to charity, when you do these things, I find it interesting that it says that he wants you to, I spelled conceal wrong, but conceal it. A secret place. So, if you looked at your first fill in the blank, I hope that you already know it. Sometimes we can be a public success, but a secret failure. That was inspired by Logan Williams. The secret place. And one of those biggest examples of a secret place, a public success, but a secret failure. King David, the expansion of Israel, and then, well, if you know, you know. A secret that kept him from, not God, but that was troubling him until he had to be humble. So Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, when you pray, it's not, hey, when you get around to it, it's, no, you're going to pray. You're going to pray. You got to get into your sacred place and pray to God. And as what Logan said, that one-on-one time. And as what Michael talked about earlier, that one-on-one time. He longs for that. So what is that place? What is that secret place? For me, it's my bedroom, just shutting out the lights and sitting on the floor. And it was inspired by the Tuesday night Bible study I go to, where we practice 5 minutes, where it's either before or after we read scripture, and then we just sit there in silence. So I'm like, okay, let me do 11 minutes every night. Eventually, the 11 minutes became 20 minutes. And I'm like, that's not enough. So when you get into your sacred place, your secret place, you're going to want more and more and more of Jesus. Now, whatever that time is, it's good. And some of those beautiful moments that I have with him is just sitting in that secret place that I spend time with him. And there's one time, and I was just wanting to pray, so I went to a Catholic church off of El Dorado, St. Francis Assisi, in the chapel. I just sit there in silence, and I almost fell asleep. When was the last time you talked to God until you fell asleep? So here's your next fill in the blank. Prayer does not help your relationship with Jesus. Prayer is your relationship with Jesus. Now, I know I've been there where it's like, you know, my life is go, 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 and I don't really seek the Father like that. You know, sometimes it's like that with me in this semester. That's when you make your life into a prayer. And it's no excuse to be busy. So, 1 Thessalonians also says, 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says, be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Amen. And this is where prayer without ceasing comes from. So like I said, my life is go, 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 go. How am I going to pray all the time? Sometimes it's like, you know what, God, I hear you, but I got laundry to do. I got to go to school. I got to go to work. Those are reasons, right? But sometimes those reasons turn into excuses. And it's like an excuse where somebody wants to hang out with you. And it's like, oh, no, I got this thing to do. You don't want to hang out with him, so you come with an excuse. I got this thing to do. I don't know. And it's really the same thing I talk to God with. Like, you know, it's that excuse. You know what? You know, praying, that sounds cool and all, but, you know, I got to go to school. So if it's go, 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 go with your life, it's still no excuse. And again, how would it look like if I was married? I would come home after a long day, and I'm like, hey, babe, I gotta go to lay down. The next day, hey, babe, I had another long day. I got to go lay down. I can't commit to a five-minute conversation. And the next day, and the next day, and the next day. Why do we treat God like that sometimes when this is our most sacred relationship that we will ever enter? Busyness is no excuse. So your next fill in the blank, whatever time you dedicate to Jesus for prayer is good, but the rest of the day is not yours. Every day we are given is a gift. And sometimes we can be too reliant on a gift if it's constant, 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 and we take for granted that gift. And all of a sudden that gift gets pulled. We get spoiled. Sometimes we need to acknowledge that, you know, this gift is just another day that we get to spend time with God. So like I said, take your secret place with you. Make your life into a prayer. How? Three easy steps. There's a prayer from St. Francis de Sales, and he made it for the busy person like a lot of us in here. It's ask, offer, accept. Ask, offer, accept. ask, you know, you ask God to be present with you in this current moment. God, I'm about to go do this. I ask you to be with me here in this moment. I'm about to go to school. I ask you to be with me here. I'm about to go work out. I wish you being with me. And I know that God is omnipresent. Yeah, I know, but you're also being attentive to him as he's being attentive to you all the time. That's what it is. Offer the task, whatever you're about to do, to God. And an offering doesn't have to be this really low moment or this really high moment. It can be normal stuff that you do throughout the day. Hey, God, you know, I asked you to be with me while I'm folding laundry. And I offer up my laundry to you. I do this a lot. God, I ask that you be with me through my workout. And I offer up my workout to you. There's going to be pain. I offer that to you. I offer up the joy that comes with the workout. And I also offer up my eyes to you. I also offer up my eyes to you, God, as a gift to you. And except, it's pretty much just, thy will be done. Thy will be done. And we also have that prayer that Jesus told us to pray. So, don't think that I forgot about verse 16 here. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure your faces when they show men that they're fasting. I tell you, they have received the reward in full, but when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, when your father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Amen. Fasting. Uh-oh. It says when you fast, guys. I don't know if you know that, but it doesn't say when you get around to it or if you do. When you fast. So there's some benefits of fasting. I don't know how it was on the PowerPoint. I didn't really take the time to look at it. But if you don't catch them all, there's 11 of them, that's fine. If you don't catch them all, fine. But the first six are not mine, okay? If you don't know, if you want to look at these again, just Google benefits of fasting. And then the website was Ascension Press, all right? Number one, fasting quiets your inner self. This is the main thing that we are called to do as Christians. Deny yourself and focus on God and others. Fasting teaches us to not seek immediate gratification. You are not going to die because you feel hungry. Number two, through fasting, you gain power over physical desires. We are meant to control our physical passions, and with the use of our reason, and fasting is a practice exactly that. If you master your hunger, you can master your anger, lust, pride, and so on. Number three, fasting helps you grow in gratitude. It is hard to be grateful for food when we are constantly eating it and never truly experience hunger. Number four, when you fast, you can offer it up to God. Amen. When you fast, when Jesus went into the desert to pray, he fasted too. Prayer and fasting go hand in hand. Prayer and fasting go hand in hand. When you offer up your fasting for yourself, your marriage, a friend, for the church, or some special intention, it's powerful. Through fasting, we gain strength to do hard things. The practice of fasting teaches us to accept suffering that comes our way and to be patient in it, because we know it will not last forever. It's a discipline that teaches us to trust God for our strength. Number six, When fasting, you, number six, fasting empties you and prepares you to receive God. Number seven, it shows God that you take him or the current circumstance seriously. Number eight, it can bring spiritual healing. Number nine, it can give spiritual authority. Number 10, it can create a spiritual awakening. And number 11, it can increase a spiritual dependence on Jesus. So number one is the one I wanted to focus on. Fasting quiets your inner self. Luke 9, verse 20. I'm just telling you what it says. You ain't got to go to it. Your Bible says that, trust me. Jesus says, if you want to be his disciple, you have to, one, deny yourself, take up your cross daily. Number three, follow him. Deny yourself. What does that mean? It ultimately means admitting that you are powerless and letting Jesus take control. Why? There is no part of us that has been affected by the curse of sin. Even if we try and don't act upon sinful desires, we still may meditate upon them. This is why in order to come to Christ, he demands of us to deny ourselves. It requires humility. Saying, God, I'm not asking you to be a part of my life. What I'm acknowledging is I have no life outside of you. I present myself to you with a desire to live in you. First Peter 5:5-6 and James 4:6 both say along the lines of, God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. Amen. So that word opposes kind of stood out to me. I was like, opposes. So I tried to look up, I'm not a biblical scholar, but I think the Greek word of opposes is in opposition to. In opposition to. So your next fill in the blank. God is in opposition to your pride, but gives grace to the humble. And then Luke 14, verses 8-11, basically says, be humble or get humbled. Bible says to humble yourself, not for God to humble you. As we all remember what happened to David. It took some kind of something, a prophet Nathan to go up and say, hey, God saw what you did. It's not okay, man. If you want God to humble you, it ain't going to be pretty. It is not going to be pretty. Luke 14, verses 8-11 basically says you're going to be humiliated if you're going to be humbled, if you need to get humbled like that. It's going to take some humiliation to get humility. So how can we humble ourselves if God is opposed to our pride? Deny yourself, okay? Well, how do you deny yourself? Fast. How do we humble ourselves? Deny yourself. How can we deny ourselves? Fast. Denying your flesh is so unique because it creates a spiritual dependence on Jesus. Why? Because it causes you to be vulnerable. It causes you to be vulnerable to temptation and Jesus. And these two do not mix really well. So obviously, Jesus is more powerful than your temptation. He's going to overthrow that temptation. When you deny your hunger, phone, or whatever you fast from, nicotine, whatever you decide to fast from, it makes room for Jesus. So my question is to you, are you going to make room for Jesus, or are you just going to go along with the same routine that you just become accustomed to, like you're brushing your teeth and you don't even realize you're brushing your teeth? Are you going to stick with the same routine, like you're brushing your teeth and you don't even realize what you're doing anymore? Are you going to make room for Jesus? Yeah. How long? I'm afraid for many of us, this is including me, I'm afraid for many of us that we have got a little too comfortable about the season of prayer. How long are we going to just, you know what, we're talking about prayer, we know what we're getting into. Are we just going to like, you know, I clocked in, I'm at church, I'm clocking in, I'm leaving church, clocking out. I'm going to make my occasional meeting, clocking in. The occasional meeting, I'm clocking out. How much longer are we going to play this game of religion? How much longer are we going to keep doing this? If you want to just take the next step, or if you're content with, you know, just making a hero on a, you know, fast. When you deny yourself, you wake up your inner man. Paul talks about an inner man and an outer man. The inner man being your spiritual side, being renewed every day, and your outer man, the flesh, perishing day by day. I'm going to go and call up the band. Luke 12, verse 3. Basically says, what will be done in the dark will be brought to the light. So your last fill in the blank. Your secret place will be brought to the light. Your secret place. How are you going to protect this sacred place that we've created with Jesus? How are we going to encounter him? And I'm trying to tell y'all that busyness and pride will get in this way, in that way of it. It'll contaminate it. Busyness is no excuse, and pride, you know, why would you want to talk to God if you're prideful? He's in opposition to that. He's in opposition to that pride. Busyness and pride will kill your prayer life. And like I said, your prayer life is your relationship with Jesus. And I leave you with this. I don't want to hear that this was a good sermon if you're not going to fast. Don't tell me that this is what I needed if you're just going to carry on the same routine. And that goes for all of my sermons. If you didn't pray for your enemies and you said it was a good sermon, did you pray for your enemy? I'm going to leave y'all with a prayer now. God, you knew I did not want to do this one because it talks to the ego. But I pray that you kick out our ego. Make room for yourself in our heart. Have this message convict us, heal us, whatever we need, whatever we're lacking. We welcome you into that pleasures that we have and our pain that we have. We ask that you renew it. Don't let us get stuck into this routine. Help us break that and renew everything that we know about you. And I want to lift up all the women on the walk one more time. God, give them a spiritual awakening. Amen. Like I had when I was at that walk to Emmaus. Man, I pray that the Holy Spirit will surround that area and create will defend against every opposition trying to attack those pilgrims. And we smite that in the name of Jesus. We smite the enemy with the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.